Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Oh, I missed all of you. Hello, everyone. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the unofficial, unsanctioned, unlicensed podcast of the Beastie Boys, The Brew. Ha ha. There's a lot of ha 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 going on. A lot to report in 2011. This is our first podcast of 2011. And I know Rhodey, he just wants another episode so badly. And Rhodey, you know this. And I think you've said this before in an email or a post. Because we follow a group of artists that are known for making the hiatus an art, it only makes sense that we take a hiatus from time to time ourselves. So that's what we did. We took a little hiatus. Although, let me say, a 1.5 month hiatus is not as long as 6 years. And I believe that is the Beastie Boys' longest hiatus. Oh boy, hiatus to date. We might have a lot of verbal and lyrical flubs today, because I'm a little rusty. I haven't done a podcast in a while. Today we will play another game of 20 questions with Mo, who has a little bit of history with the Beastie Boys, or at least a little bit of history with Evan Bernard. And I'm also going to tell you about an independent study project that I am currently working on. But before all of that, we got some Beastie news. We know that the brand new album, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, is coming out in the spring. I don't know what that means. Because I guess technically, what? This spring happens, is it March 21st or March 22nd? And then that would go until June 21st or June 22nd? So I guess in that time frame, we'll have a brand new Beastie Boys album. And I'm kind of excited because, say if the Beastie Boys released Hot Sauce Committee Part 1 last year, or the year before, everything would be over now. They would have put out the album, they would have toured, and right now we would just be twiddling our thumbs. So, basically, we twiddled our thumbs last year and the year before, and this year we get the goodies. And not only that, we get a short film. And we would have not gotten the short film if we got the album last year or the year before. Fight for Your Right Revisited. And we found out about it when MCA came out of hiding. Because as I'm sure most of you know, the Beastie Boys are blogging on their website, beastieboys.com. Ad-Rock, he's loving the YouTube videos. Mike D is loving the old reggae YouTube videos. And we did not hear from MCA. And then one day, mysteriously, a picture of these three guys dressed as the Beastie Boys in their Fight for Your Right to Party video was posted by MCA. He didn't type anything, just a picture. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, all right. You know, he found this picture on the internet, and he decided to post it. And then I'm telling you what, the people over at the Beastie Boys message boards, geniuses. Because someone typed, yo, that's Danny McBride, Seth Rogen, and Elijah Wood. And I looked at the picture again. I'm like, oh my gosh, it is. And then the chatter started. I believe CJ Hood doing some investigative reporting. And we found out that the Beastie Boys are indeed shooting, and it's probably already done now, shot a short film called Fight for Your Right Revisited. It picks up where their video, Fight for Your Right, ended. And I guess it will premiere at this year's Sundance Film Festival, and that leads into the Beastie Boys' brand new music video, Make Some Noise. And I have not heard that song yet. Maybe some of you have. I have not. So that is something to look forward to in Sundance just around the corner. So we are going to take a break, and when we come back on the Brouhaha, I'm going to tell you about the independent music study project that I am working on.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
Is it your brouhaha?
Thing about doing stunt work is safety first. I learned that from Burt Reynolds himself, because if you're not going to be safe, you're not going to be careful with the people around, the people who are in the vicinity watching you do a manly stunt, and you might hurt somebody.
The Brew, ha 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 ha.
Oh yes, back on the Brew, ha ha. So here is what I do in my spare time while I await the brand new Beastie Boys album. I do little independent study projects. So I would say about 3 or 4 months ago, one afternoon I randomly started singing the song Rumors. And I'm sure all of you old school folks know the song I'm talking about. What's with all these rumors? And I am tone deaf, so sorry if I sang that out of key. So I thought to myself, I know this song. I like this song. Who in the heck sings this song? So I did a quick YouTube search, and I found out that the group Timex Social Club performs the song Rumors. And I was like, all right, I want to find out more about this band. I want to hear more. So I went on iTunes, and the only Timex Social Club song you can find on iTunes is, of course, their big hit, Rumors. So I did some more information searching on the internet, and I found out that Timex Social Club, they're from the Bay Area. Rumors was an independent release. Got a lot of radio love on the West Coast. I think it eventually got some in Texas. Run DMC or Run DMC's management caught wind of the song. And then presto, Timex Social Club actually joins Run DMC on the Raising Hell tour. And you Beastie Boys fans know that the Beastie Boys were on the Raising Hell tour. So Timex Social Club opened up for the Beastie Boys, who opened up... No. Oh, yeah, that was right. I got ahead of myself there. Yeah, Timex Social Club opened up for the Beastie Boys, who opened up for Run-DMC on the Raising Hell tour. I think LL Cool J and Houdini and maybe a couple other people on the Raising Hell tour. Sorry if I'm forgetting anyone. So I was like, whoa, these guys, they tour with the Beastie Boys. I gotta hear more. So I went to Amazon. I was looking for their full-length album. And the only one that I know of that exists is, it's called Vicious Rumors. Of course, probably named after the big hit Rumors. Could not find the CD anywhere. I found one copy on vinyl from a kid in Canada. So I bought it, even though I do not own a record player at the moment. But I know that my wife's father, a.k.a. my father-in-law, does own a record player with a USB output. So what I did was I bought the album off eBay from a kid in Canada, gave the vinyl to my wife, and I said, for Christmas, I want this album in MP3 format. So here's where the story gets interesting, at least to me, and I think it's hilarious. And if any of you know my father-in-law, you'll think the story is funny too. So my wife gives Vicious Rumors to her dad, and he is a man, a red-blooded American man. He was a fire chief. I think he would perform homemade tracheotomies on the spot. He would just reach into guys' throats and pull out stuff, and old school. He hunts. For example, a couple months ago, he was up at camp, lost the tip of his finger in a wood-splitting accident. And when he went to the hospital, he did not need painkillers. They just chopped off the top of his finger while he was watching, while he was conscious, without any painkillers. And then they sewed it up, and then he stayed at camp. He did not go back home. So that's the kind of guy I'm talking about. And the album Vicious Rumors, an R&B album from the early 80s, not his cup of tea. And God bless him because he had to listen to this entire album and then transcribe all of the information onto his iTunes. So, Dad, thank you for doing that. And I would love a videotape of him doing that. So before I go any further, first, let's listen to a bit of the song that I'm talking about, Rumors, from Timex Social Club.
1, 2, 3. How do rumors get started? Started by the jealous people, and they get mad in something they had and somebody else is holding. Tell me that temptation is very hard to resist. But these wicked women, I'm only with my business, please don't mess. When you look at all these rumors surrounding me every day, I just need some time, some time to get away from all these rumors. I can't take it no more. See, my best friend said there's one out now about me and a girl next door.
I hear that one about Tina. Some say she's much too loose.
That came straight from a guy who claims he's taking her juice.
That's good stuff, right? So while I was waiting for Vicious Rumors in MP3 format, I was searching the internet for information on Timex Social Club. And the biggest news I found out was that they opened up for Run DMC on the Raising Hell tour, and I think they only have one album. So on Christmas, I took my little thumb drive, stuck it into my father-in-law's computer. I got Vicious Rumors. And after all this buildup, after all of this excitement, I don't think it's that great. Production-wise, it's kind of like, I don't know, New Edition. Maybe not even good as New Edition on the production value chart. Here, take a listen to this song. Here, and here is another one for you, just to give you another taste. So that is what Timex Social Club has to offer. I was hoping for more of a hip-hop influence. It's definitely more early 80s R&B. And just as I was about to give up on Timex Social Club, in 2011, when the new year hit, they put out this new website celebrating 25 years of Timex Social Club. So basically, all of this research that I was doing leading up to Christmas, it was all given to me in 2011. I didn't need to do anything. So they are celebrating their 25th anniversary as an act. If you guys ever want any information on Timex Social Club, you can go to their website. I think they even have an internet radio station where you can call in. So maybe one day we will have Timex Social Club on the Brouhaha, and they can tell us all about the Raising Hell tour. But sadly, Rumors still remains their biggest hit, and everything else off their album, Vicious Rumors, it does not measure up. Bummer. When we come back, we will be joined by Mo, and he will play a game of 20 questions. So don't nobody go nowhere.
I want to take this minute to introduce you to my people.
D-A-S-T-I-E-A-D-O-O-C-K-M-I-K-E to the D.
M to the C to the A, and it's a boss. The rhymes that we boss on the topic of lust.
It does go well with the chicken.
We have returned to the brouhaha. Now joining me, we've got Mo. Welcome, Mo.
How are you?
Very good.
Thanks for having me.
Mo, have you ever heard of the group Timex Social Club?
Yes.
You okay?
Would, I think so, yeah.
Can you name their big hit?
What was their big hit? I'm at a loss. I think.
How about this? I'll tell you the big hit, and then you sing it for me.
Okay.
Rumors.
All these rumors every day.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
So I didn't intend for this to happen, but this
right.
episode of the Brouhaha is almost dedicated to Timex Social Club.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
And I kind of dogged them in the last segment.
Right.
And while I was calling you up, I was listening to some of their songs, and I'm like, you know what? This ain't that bad. This ain't that bad either. So we might have to have another episode praising Timex Social Club.
Okay. Yeah, they had their moment, I think, right?
Yeah, and the reason I brought them up is because they were on the Raising Hell tour.
That's right.
They were
That's
the opening act on the Raising Hell tour.
Well, my brother and a friend of mine who we'll probably talk about went to that show at the Garden, the Raising Hell tour.
So he was probably singing Rumors.
Yeah.
Back
exactly.
in the mid-80s.
Right. Well, that was are they considered a one-hit wonder? Because sometimes you know the song, but you don't necessarily know the band. And that's just me when you're thinking about one-hit wonders. But that's just good.
I think they are definitive one-hit wonders.
Right. Exactly.
Because that's the only song you can find on iTunes.
That's it. Wow.
So right now, to everyone who's listening in Beastie Universe, I will stop talking about Timex Social Club. And we will begin talking about the Beastie Boys again. Mo, you have worked with Evan Bernard before.
Yes.
And how did this happen?
Back in 94, a friend of mine, Colby, who's now he's really good friends with Evan. And I should send Evan this podcast because you could probably get Evan on the show.
Yeah, would Evan do an episode of the Brouhaha?
Yeah, probably. It'd be much better than me. He's actually worked with the Beastie Boys. But so back in 94, I was, I'm a film and video editor, so that's what I do now. But back in 94, a friend of mine got me a job at an editing company. I was just out of school. I was a runner, PA, take lunch orders, and that's when the Beastie Boys came into that edit house and did Root Down, which Evan Bernard directed. So
yeah,
that's when we met Evan. Adam Yao came in to work a couple of nights with Evan, which was, it was a great time. It's an awesome video too. It was Evan's really first video. And then from there, we became friends with Evan. His career started taking off, and then the way it works in my industry, eventually you become an assistant editor, then an editor. So my friend Colby started editing with Evan, and then when Colby got a little busy, then I started doing some of Evan's work. Money Mark, Hand in Your Head video is something I edited with Evan.
That's your claim to fame in Beastie Universe.
Exactly. The more high I did a couple of Moby videos with Evan were probably the most higher profile stuff.
And what Moby videos did you do?
I did something called Lift Me Up, and then we did New York, New York. I don't know if you ever saw that video. It was like off his greatest hits album, and actually has Deborah Harry singing on it. It's a really funny dance choreographed video. So I think we did that. I think we did one more. It was called, we just did those two. And Moby came in a couple of times. Evan's also friends with Moby. I think they live on the same block down. And
yeah, they're all hanging out down there.
They're all hanging out. Which is interesting too is that the other connection is then years later Kobe got his own little edit space down in Soho, and I believe Bill. I think people know him as Billions McMillions, who did all the album covers for the Beastie. But he did some art. I can't remember what he did, but he had a little space where Kobe was editing, and I would just go there and hang out with Evan and Kobe, and you know, a couple of times you'd see Yao stop in there because I think this dude Bill was friends with him. I think when you had Say Adams, I listened to that episode with Say Adams.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about Bill McMullen. I think he did. The inside of the Hello Nasty.
Yeah,
I
think they worked together on that.
Yeah, yeah. So, that was. They're right. They're all friends, basically. They're all connected.
And then my next question is, does MCA have game?
He does, man.
Because in the editing space you worked at, it had a basketball hoop. Although we should point out, it was not regulation.
It wasn't regulation.
It was an 8-foot hoop.
Yeah. It was dunkable, and I'm, you know, I'm point guard size, and I was able to get hops on it. But yeah, MCA was good, and the funny thing is we were just equally as psyched to meet Evan because he was name checked on the song.
Yep.
That's all we were doing was pumping Ill Communication at that time, and Evan is definitely like driving the lane that is so. Might kill me for saying, but he's such a like a physical player that's a perfect the lyric fit.
Yeah, because he wasn't just shouted out, but his basketball skills were shouted
out. The funny tidbit on that was so then years later we became friends with Evan, and he always used to call me Mo Cheeks, who's after legendary. So the Beastie Boys did a surprise gig at Irving Plaza when Hello Nasty came out, and it's like they probably announced it a couple of days before, and Evan was able to get us on the list for the show because he was obviously friends with them. And he put me on the list as Mo Cheeks, which is obviously not my real name, and I had to, like...
That's horrible to do because you have to show your ID.
Yeah, and, dude, the guy let me... I was like, he calls me Mo Cheeks. We played basketball together. That's the nickname. And the guy actually let me into the show.
Wow.
So, and it was, you know...
Now, what would happen if the real Mo Cheeks wanted to get into a Beastie Boys concert? You would be screwed.
Right. I'd be screwed, exactly. And Mo Cheeks was probably retired at that time and probably not taking in BC shows, maybe. Not in New York, at least. So we were in Philly. Could have been a problem.
And, Mo, we are going to take a quick break because this is the first Brouhaha of 2011.
Okay.
And I've been fiddling around with different audio settings. So okay. I'm going to switch an audio setting, and then you will attempt to play. Well, no, you will play 20 questions, but you said that you've listened to past episodes and that you've never made it past, what, like question 7?
Yeah, 6 or 7 or something like that.
So let's...
I was able...
No, what's that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think 7 was already topped out.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, let's make a goal for yourself today. Let's just try to get to question 8.
Okay.
Don't aim for the mountain. Just take one step at a time.
Right. If I can get one right, I'd be happy.
The first 5 are usually easy. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Mo will play 20 questions.
With the festive season upon us, Rock Bar News is taking a look back at some of the highlights of 1987. This was the year when rap gained public appreciation and came out of the ghettos and into your homes. One rap group you probably wouldn't want in your home are the Beastie Boys. They toured Europe with Run DMC and caused Volkswagen owners everywhere to lock up not only their daughters, but their cars as well. When the Beasties hit London, we went down to check out what all the fuss was about.
We have returned on the Brouhaha, and I have tweaked audio settings, Mo. I think there's less hiss on your phone and more reverb in my voice. So fans, their minds are going to be blown right now.
Right.
And right now, you don't hear any of this. You just hear me on the telephone.
You sound loud and clear, but you're doing the heavy lifting.
So, first of all, do you know the rules of 20 questions?
I know there's multiple. What's the multiple choice?
So the deal
is, one
multiple? Yeah, if you get stumped along the way, you will have 3 options for multiple choice.
Okay. Okay.
And then after you use those, you are on your own.
Okay.
And then
I'm with it.
Oh, and then if you answer all 20 questions correctly, you get a lovely cardboard homemade Beastie Boys diorama.
I love that.
You know, put that up on the mantle. It's a nice icebreaker when you have a dinner party.
Yeah.
All
Anything
right.
Beastie. Cool.
So start the music. Once again, Mo is just trying to get to question number 8 today, and then we will take it from there.
Okay.
First question could be a little bit tricky. What is the title of the soon-to-be-released, we hope, Beastie Boys album?
Hot Sauce Committee Part 1. Oh, Part 2.
Oh, yes, you are correct. That was why it was tricky.
That's right. Part 2. I'm waiting. I'm fuming for that, by the way.
I am. It's a spring, but I have no idea what that means.
Right. Well, they're doing the Sundance, you know, we won't make it long, but it seems like the video is going to drop during Sundance, which Sundance is in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
You know, the little short film that Yauch is doing, the Fight for Your Right Revisited movie. That
now,
goes
you're a movie guy. Do you know anything else about that film? Because, I mean, I know,
all I know
is what's on the internet.
Yeah, I just saw Seth Rogen talk about it. The only one thing I know is, a guy that I work with here, another editor, his sister-in-law does the ticket booking for Sundance, and that's really all I know. Mike D was actually on a Nick game. They interviewed him, and he confirmed that it goes into the new track, whatever, you know, however that works. But we'll see.
All right. So we know it's happening. It's going to premiere at Sundance, and then we'll just wait it out until then.
Exactly.
All right, question number 2. True or false, DJ Hurricane appears in the music video Sure Shot.
True.
You're a video man. Yeah. You should know that you are correct.
Yeah.
Question number 3. Mario C., a man who produced 3 straight albums for the Beastie Boys, is short for what?
Mario Caldado Jr.
Mario Caldado Jr. is correct. You could also go Caldado.
Okay.
Either or, you are correct.
Cool.
Question number 4. What Beastie Boy sings Gratitude?
That's Ad-Rock, Adam Horovitz.
You are correct. Ad-Rock sings Gratitude. So right now, question number 5, and after question 5, it should get a little tougher.
Okay.
Another film question should be right down your alley. What is the name of the film distribution company spearheaded by Adam Yauch?
Oscilloscope Laboratories.
Oh, yes. Oscilloscope Laboratories is actually the total correct name.
Yeah.
Not Oscilloscope Studios, not Oscilloscope. It is proper Oscilloscope Laboratories.
Yeah.
All right. 5 for 5. Question number 6. And this is sort of a throwback to the first game of 20 questions we ever played on the Brouhaha, a spelling question. And a lot of people damn me for that. They're like, how can you ask a question about Horovitz and Horowitz? I'm like, I thought it'd be easy.
I'm terrible at spelling.
Oh,
so this
no.
Is, yeah.
All right. Well, you said question 7 was your crutch. Maybe 6 is your crutch today.
Right.
I just need you to spell Yauch. Yauch, Yauch, however you pronounce it.
Okay, let me think of this for a second.
As in Adam Yauch.
We're just doing the last name,
just
right?
Just the last name.
It's Y-A-U-C-H.
Is that your final answer?
Y-A-U-C-H, yes. I'm just going to go with that.
You are correct. And I'm laughing because I almost wanted you to do it like they do at the National Spelling Bee. Y-A-U-C-H, Yauch.
I almost would have to write it down. That's how retarded I am. Sometimes I have to write it out when I spell. But yeah, I'm always awful at names.
All right. Mo, question number 7. Here we go. If you get past this, it is a moral victory.
Right.
In 2004... when the Beastie Boys ascended from the 7th Avenue subway station and danced their way into the Ed Sullivan Theater on The Late Show with David Letterman, what song were they performing?
Check it out.
To check it out is correct. We've made it to question number 8. Congratulations,
oh,
Mo!
I'm ecstatic.
There you
now
go.
Now I'm just cruising.
A moral victory on the brouhaha.
I am just cruising.
This is called What Song Am I? You may have heard this before on 20 Questions. You get 3 clues and then you have to figure out the song.
Okay.
Ad Rock registers a whopping 6.7 on the Richter scale.
Okay.
The analogy, gravy to potatoes, Luke to Darth Vader is made. And then the Beastie Boys attempt to sing Billy Joel's Can't Stop the Fire.
I love this song, and I'm pretty sure it's Do It off Still Communication.
Do It is correct. And I might have made a mistake, right? Is it Billy Joel's Can't Stop the Fire or Can't Start the Fire?
I think it's Can't Start.
Can't Start the Fire. Anyway, it is Do It, and you are correct, and we move on to question number 9.
Wow.
All right, now since the Beastie Boys are acknowledging Fight for Your Right again, we have a question about Fight for Your Right to Party. In the music video, Mike D wears a shirt representing what logo? And because he wears this shirt, the song Sounds of Science on Paul's Boutique comes off a tad contradictory.
Wait, can you repeat that question?
Yeah. In the video Fight for Right, Mike D wears a shirt representing what logo? And because he wears the shirt and the logo on the shirt, the song Sounds of Science on Paul's Boutique comes off a bit contradictory.
Sounds of Science comes off contradictory. I might have to use my first multiple choice here because I can't remember what shirt he was wearing. I know he was wearing a denim jacket, but...
And he had the big Volkswagen logo.
Yeah.
Wearing a t-shirt with the logo on it.
Okay.
And then as a youngster, when you listen to Paul's Boutique, you're like, wait a second.
Right.
When you listen to Sounds of Science, you're what about Fight for Your Right? So you want the multiple choice?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. A, Adidas. B,
okay.
Fila. C, Nike. D, Gap.
Sounds of Science. I know the song. This song was just on like a Pandora thing here the other day. So Fila, Gap, Nike, and what?
Adidas, Fila, Nike, and Gap. And some fans who know their ill communication know that I'm throwing sort of like a curveball at you with one of those options.
I feel like it's either Nike or Gap. They're sort of...
And let me just say that if you get this wrong, you will probably kick yourself after I reveal the lyric.
Yeah, why can't I remember it? So they name drop the lyric for one of these things. I'm going to have to go... Yeah, he wasn't wearing a Gap shirt, so I don't think that. I'm gonna say Nike, and I made it past 8.
It's a moral victory.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go with Nike. That's my final answer.
Mo, you did not win the diorama today, but you are a champion.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, are you ready?
Yes.
In this song, Sounds of Science, there is a lyric, rock my Adidas, never rock Fila.
Oh.
What? You rocked a Fila shirt in the Fight for Your Right to Party video. Of course you rock Fila.
How do I not remember? I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed. How did I not remember that lyric? That's a monumental lyric in that song. Unbelievable.
So you see how it is contradictory.
Yes. I didn't remember.
In a very iconic 80s video, he is rocking the Fila.
Right, exactly.
So, Mo, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. You're awesome.
For doing 20 questions, for talking about MCA's b-ball skills. And if you find out anything about Fight for It Revisited before it's released, you let us know.
And I got to say, the show's awesome for all us diehard Beastie fans. I've been one since License to Ill. Awesome. Beastie talk, you can't beat it.
And let me also say that your voice is in the same vocal family as our close friend Justin Prager.
Oh, okay.
Are you related to any Pragers?
No. I'm not. Who's Justin Prager? As a friend of...
He was on a couple episodes ago.
Okay.
He's a
guy
I used to work with at MTV.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
so
cool.
If we're ever at the same concert, we'll all introduce each other to one another.
Yeah, we'll try to take a BC show in. If they do want, we're hoping.
Oh yeah, right? Yes. Hopefully sooner than later. For Mo, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yins later.
Peace.
On my beats, my hits, and my songs. So when the day has come to an end, I sit back, relax, and catch my wind. I get home and take off my shoes, change my clothes, and shake off the blues. And when I'm finally securely alone, I think of my girl and reach for the phone. And she says, baby, what you doing? I'm just kicking it. I'm doing nothing else. Just kicking it. Sitting here by myself. Always kicking it. When I'm alone. Just kicking it. I'm on my own.
That's it. That's all. That's all there is. Come on.
We're gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Ah! Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
Cause it's a brouhaha.